The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Since yesterday was Tisha B'Av, I'm going to dwell on something which is in our Sedra, but also has to do with related subject to Tisha B'Av, with the Beis HaMikdash. The beginning of Parshas Vayeschanan, Pasuk Chofei, the third Pasuk in the Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu was appealing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, Ebro no, bi'ere'er es ha'oretz ha'tova asher b'ra yadein, ha'or ha'tev ha'zev ha'alvonon. Please, let me cross over, so I can see the oretz ha'tova asher b'ra yadein, the good land which is across the Jordan. They were in the lands of Sichon ve'Amori, which is Transjordan. Jordan, this is the east bank of the Jordan. Ohor Atov, let me see the good mountain. Ve'halvonon, and the Levonon. The Chazal tell us, Oretz Atova, that's Eretz Yisrael. Ohor Atov, the good mountain, Zu Yerushalayim. This is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is on a mountain. Halvonon, the Targum says, Beis Mikdosho. This is the Beis HaMikdosh. So three things are mentioned: Eretz HaTova, Eretz Yisrael, Ohor HaTov, the good mountain, which is Yerushalayim, and the Levonon, the Beis HaMikdosh, the sanctuary. And this is what Moshe asked to see. The fact that Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim are referred to with the description of Tov, good, means a great deal. Yeshua and Kolev in Parsha Shalach, Yudaled Posuk Zayin, when they came back from spying out the land, they also used this description. Oretz asher ovanu bo losur eso tovoha oretz miod miod. The land which we crossed over to see, to spy out, is a land which is good, very, very good. Now, what is so important about this description? Because firstly, this is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Tov. Tev Hashem Lakol Verachamov Alkol Ma'asov. This is in Tehillim. This is in Ashrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tov to all, and his compassion is on all of his handiworks. So we see that this is a word which describes Hashem. This is a word which describes the Torah. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem, torasi al ta'azovu. This is what we say in Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim bo. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem, torasi al ta'azovu. It is. What I'm giving you is good. My Torah. Do not forsake it. And the Chazal bring Israel is also referred to as Tov, and even the creation of the world was called Tov. Every day of the Maisa Breishis, of the creation, so it states by Yar Hashem Kitov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw what he created was good. So he used this description of the world also every day, with the exception of Yom Sheni, exception of Monday. And at the end of the creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, said, Vayar Hashem es kol asher oso, vihine tov mi'od. Hashem saw everything that he had made, and it is very good. So, we see Tov refers to the highest possible milas, the highest possible levels, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah, creation of the world. So the fact that Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, Ha'oretz HaTova, Ha'or HaTov, is called by this, so this is very significant. But what is the word Levonon? Zu Beis HaMikdosh. the Gemara in Masechta Yuma. Daf Lametes Amud Beis. Omar Reb Yitzchok ben Tavloy, Loma Nikra Shmei Levonon. Why is the Beis Hamikdash referred to as Levonon? Shemalavin Avneisehem Shel Yisrael. Levonon comes from the word Lavon, which means white, because the Beis Hamikdash would whiten the Avneis, the sins of Yisrael. Sins are always illustrated either by being red or black, dark. And the Beis HaMikdosh removed those sins. It was metaher, purified, it cleansed, it was mechaper, it atoned. So therefore, since it was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdosh to be malavin aveneisehen shel Yisrael, the avedas of Yisrael, it was called levonon. Then Omar of Zutra bar Tuvia, Loma Nikrish Mayar. We see not only the Beis HaMikdash was called Levonon, but also it was called Yar HaLevonon. Yar HaLevonon means the forest of the Levonon. Why was it called the forest of the Levonon? As it states, Beis Yar HaLevonon. Gemara brings a posuk in Malochi Ma'alef, Perek Yud. Leimeloch, to tell us, Mayar Melavlev, Af Beis HaMikdosh Melavlev. Just like the forest is Melavlev. Melavlev means gives forth fruit. The Beis HaMikdosh also was Melavlev, it also gave forth fruit. Domer Rabbi Ishia, because Rabbi Ishia said, Bishor Shebonu Shlema Beis HaMikdosh, when Shlema and King Solomon built the sanctuary, not by kol minei megodim shel zohov, he planted all types of wonderful fruits of gold. Bohoyemaitzin peiros bismanehem, and the Beis HaMikdash would cause these fruits to grow. Begiven sharuach min hashevus bahen, and when the wind came and blew off the fruit, hayneishirim peirosehem, then the fruits would fall. As it states, Shenemar Yiroi Eish Kilvonon Piryoi Umehen Hayisor Parnosa Lakuna. These golden fruits blew away, and they blew to the Kahanim, and from here the Kahanim had Parnosa, had sustenance. So therefore, the Beis HaMikdash was called Levonon and Yar Levonon, forest of the Levonon. Just like a forest is Melavlev, gives forth its fruits, so did the Beis HaMikdosh give forth its fruits. But once the Goyim, the idolaters, came to the Hechel, Antishubov, Yovshei, then it all ceased, it all dried up. Shenemar, Uferach Levonon Umlol. As it states in Nochum, that the fruits of the Levonon became widowed. Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'haksir aleinu lonu. But in time to come, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt b'mehera v'yomeinu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return all of this to us. Shenemar, as it states in Yishayahu Lamedhei, Poroach Tifrach v'sogil, it shall give forth fruit, it shall blossom and bring joy. Avgilas biranein, it will bring great joy. Koved halvonain nitanlo, the honor, the goodness of the Levonon, of the Beis HaMikdosh, Kved halvonon nitanlo, will be given to us. So the Gemara explains, this is why the Beis HaMikdash was called Levonon, and why it was called Yar Levonon, the forest of Levonon. What is the explanation in all of this? There's much for us to learn. From here we can learn a lot about Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the Beis Hamikdash. The Maral explains in Netzach Yisrael, Perechov Beis, and in other places. The word Tov means the ultimate in completeness, the ultimate in perfection. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Tov. Shleimus. Something which lacks nothing. And therefore, his Torah also is called Tov. Hilekach Tov Nosati Lochem. And so on. An Adover Gashmi, on something which is physical, from the physical world, there by itself we could not call it Tov. Because the physical world is always lacking. Physical world has no life in it. A piece of earth is dead. All of the plants are dead. They receive their life, their sustenance and their life from Milmalo, from above. So therefore, on the physical world is always lacking and is always wanting. Therefore, we could not say Tov on the physical world by itself. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the whole world, and the whole world, the physical world, which was bonded to a spiritual world, the Olam HaTachton, the Olam HaElyon, the lower worlds, the upper worlds, when he saw everything, yes, then he could say Tov. Now, Eretz Yisrael is a physical piece of land. Historically, we see it's a physical piece of land that the nations of the world have not ceased to fight over. Geographically, it's a very important piece of land. Politically, it's a very important piece of land. So it's a physical piece of land. From the fact that Eretz Yisrael, it says Eretz Yisrael, I'm talking of the land of Israel, should be referred to as Tov, this tells us something. What does this tell us? This tells us it's not physical. This is something that the nations of the world haven't understood. And unfortunately, many Jews also have not understood. It's not a physical piece of land. If it would be a physical piece of land, it could be called Tov. Because all physical is lacking. The proof that it's not a physical piece of land is because the land itself is mechuyev b'mitzvus, is obligated in mitzvus. Who ever heard a piece of land should be obligated in mitzvus? The Gemara tells us, Kol HaMekudesh is Michaverei, whoever is more sanctified than his fellow man, is Mitzvah Yeseres Michaverei, has more mitzvahs than his Chaverei. The whole world were given seven mitzvahs. Adam was given six, and Noach was given seven. Israel were given more, Levim were given more than Israelim. Kahanim were given more than Levim. Mitzvah comes from Kedusha, from sanctity. Land cannot have mitzvahs. This is why there are no mitzvahs in land in the rest of the world. Yotzo min haklal hazeh, the exception to this rule is Eretz Yisrael. Moshe says, Eretz Yisrael, it calls Eretz Kedusha. It is a sanctified piece of land. Mahi kedushoso. Moshe says, what is its kedusha? Its kedusha is because you have to bring mitzvahs from its land. You have to bring truma. You have to to being maestros. The fruits become sanctified. The grains become sanctified. The olives, the vine, Shemitah, on the seventh year it becomes sanctified. And on and on and on. This is its Kedusha. So we see that Eretz Yisrael is not a physical piece of land. It is elevated from the lands of the rest of the world. And it is separated, it is nibdal from the lands of the other world, to the point where it becomes mitzuvah b'mitzvahs, that if you live there and you work the land, brings out mitzvahs. And this is only in Eretz Yisrael. Only. This the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Kedushin. Kol mitzvah shenoheges bo'oretz eino noheges ela bo'Eretz Yisrael. Bo'oretz. Kol mitzvah she'eino noheges bo'oretz is the heges bo'oretz u'bechutz lo'oretz. If it's a mitzvah that is not in the land, then that mitzvah is universal. But if it's a mitzvah that's in the land, that can be only in Eretz Yisrael. Because there's not mitzvahs in land outside of Eretz Yisrael. Because outside of Eretz Yisrael is gashmi, is physical, while the land of Eretz Yisrael is not physical. It's higher than the physical level. This is why it is called Moshe referred to it as a Oretz HaTova, the land of goodness, because there can be perfection there. This is why Dovra Melech wrote in Tehillim, Ki rotzo avodecho, in Tehillim Kuvchof, Ki rotzo avodecho es avonecho vesaforo yecheinenu. Your servants want its stones. They desire its stones. They desire its earth and dust. Why do they desire the stones? What do the stones have to do with it? What does the earth and the dust have to do with it? The Gemara brings at the end of Masechta Ksubos. It says, Rababa Menashe Kipi. Rababa used to go and he used to kiss the stones. Avaku, Reb Chiya Bar Gamdo, Migder Ba'afro. He used to sit in the and fondle the dust, the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Why? What does it have to do with the dirt, the dust? Because Zuhi Kedushosa, that's its Kedusha. The Kedusha is in the earth. Eretz HaKedusha. If it's Eretz HaKedusha, then it can't be an Eretz HaGashmi, a physical piece of land. Therefore, it is elevated. And therefore, Maisha said, I want to see it. I want to see it. This is something you can't see any other place. Ebrono, let me go and see Ha'oretz HaTova, this land of Tov. The Mishnah, Masechta Kelim, tells us, Eretz Yisrael, Kodosh, Mishar Arotzis. Eretz Yisrael is sanctified and separated from all other lands. This is Eretz Yisrael. Now, the same Mishnah tells us further. It says, Yerushalayim is Kodesh Mikol Sharayoresh. This, what we were referring to till now, this is in Eretz Yisrael. We're not in Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim is sanctified more than all of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and more than all of the cities of Eretz Yisrael. See? More than Haifa, and more than Tel Aviv, more than all of the other cities. Yerushalayim. That's why it's called Ir HaKedusha. Now, this is why the Maral says that Moshe called Yerushalayim Haharatov. Not merely because it was a mountain, but just as a mountain is elevated above and beyond the rest of the landscape, so is Yerushalayim, not only physically, but spiritually, is elevated above and beyond the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So he said, I want to see Eretz Yisrael. But that's not enough. I also want to see Ahor HaTov. I want to see the mountain, the part of Eretz Yisrael that's elevated even more. There Yerushalayim, the Kiddush of Yerushalayim, the special Kiddush of Yerushalayim is not because of its land, because then it wouldn't be special from the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So it has other milos, which we've spoken about at other times, but nevertheless, it is Nivdal. Like she said, I want to see this also. Hohorato. Now, he added Valvonon. Also, I would like to see the Levonon. Zu Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is elevated and separated even more. Mishnah tells us in Masechta Kelim that the Harabayist, the Beis Hamikdash, the area of the Mikdash, is Kodesh, we call Sharma Kemis, is more sanctified than all of the rest of Yerushalayim and all of the rest of Eretz Yisrael. What? Why? The reason why the Beis Hamikdash is so sanctified is because there is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to dwell. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "V'shochanti b'seichon, make for me a Mishkon." Mishkon means a dwelling place, because I want a place to dwell in this world. And he chose that place. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses a place to dwell in this world, then certainly that place is going to be more Kodesh than all other places in this world. And this is the Mokam HaMikdosh, the place of the Beis HaMikdosh. Even though we learned, and we just mentioned it in the Shir of Tishu B'Av, that the Gemara tells us in Megillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dwell all over. He says, I will be a dwelling place for you when you go into Golus. He will dwell wherever Klal Yisrael comes together for Tefillah or for Torah. Or he dwells in the Dalaramas of Halacha, Shorim HaMatsuyonim, Bahalacha, the Gemara brings. This is true. But they are not permanent dwelling places. If you move the Beis HaMedrash, he moves with it. If you move the Beis HaKnesses, he moves with it. When Klal Yisrael went from one Golus to the other, Shechinta Golei Moem, the Shechinah went with them. There was only one place in the world that he chose that should be his permanent dwelling place. And that was the Mokam HaMikdosh, the place of the Beis HaMikdosh in Yerushalayim. And that's the place that he said will always be his permanent dwelling place, as long as Klal Yisrael allows it to be. So therefore, the Beis HaMikdosh is the place of the Shekhinah. And this is why it's called not only Mishkon, which means dwelling place, but Mikdosh. What does Mikdosh mean? Totally sanctified. It's not referred to as Eretz HaKdosha, a sanctified piece of land. It's not referred to as Ir HaKdosha, a sanctified city. It's referred to as Mikdosh, totally sanctified. It's a place which really is not from this world. It is built with Eitzim Va'avonim, with physical wood and physical stones, but that becomes a tofel. That becomes insignificant to the Shekhinah which dwells there. Therefore it is referred as Mikdosh, a place which is totally sanctified, Mokam HaShekhinah, the place of the Shekhinah. It's not this world. This is why in the Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Es Mikdosh Shai Tiro'u." You must have a special fear for my sanctuary, because when you walk there, Yeren Yitzera Nitztava HaMokom HaMikdosh, that we were not commanded on the rest of Eretz Yisrael or even Yerushalayim. We have to have great awe and great respect whenever we go into Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that's Paltin Shel Melech. You're walking into the palace of the king. And who doesn't have awe and respect when someone walks into the palace of the king? But it states when you come to the Migdosh, that's different. Yira Yisera Nitztava. That's a different type of awe and respect altogether. Because that's not from this world. This is why the Maral says that the Mishnah Masechta Ovis tells us, it states, Asora Nisim Nasu Lavasena B'Migdosh. 10 miracles used to take place in the Beis HaMikdosh. And it lists the 10 miracles. For example, there used to be a column of smoke that would come from the Mizbeach, from the altar, and the wind never broke it. Or for example, the rain never put it out, the fire. Or for example, there was so many sacrifices going on there. Enormous amount of sacrifices. States on one Pesach they counted 600,000 goats and lambs. Now you could imagine what kind of Havdil, Elef Havdolos, and an abattoir. The Chazal tell us wasn't like an abattoir at all. There was no smell. Nothing ever smelled there. There were no flies. It says no one ever saw a fly in the Beis HaMikdosh, and so on and so on. The Maral says the Chidush, the uniqueness, was not that the 10 miracles took place. Miracles is not unique, are not unique to Israel. We had 10 miracles of Aser Makis. We had 10 miracles in Egypt. We had a Kriyas Yamsuf. Eretz Yisrael has miracles all many, many times. He says the uniqueness is not that the 10 miracles took place. The uniqueness is that the 10 miracles took place every day. Now, a miracle is a shinui. A miracle is a phenomenon, a deviation from the natural order of events, like the splitting of the sea. The Nile becoming blood. But since it's a deviation from the natural order, it's a shinui ateva, so therefore it's chesele sonet. It will return. Every deviation must come back to what it should be. Beis HaMikdosh was not like that. Never returned. So what do we see? That these miracles, these 10 miracles that were taking place in the Beis HaMikdosh, were not deviations. But we see that the teva, the nature of the Beis HaMikdosh, was nishtana legamri, was a different nature altogether. And why is that? Because it was a part of this world that also was not this world. Therefore, it was called Levonon. The word Levonon, the Gemara says, comes from the word Lovon, white. White is the ultimate in something being separated from the physical world. When you take colors and you want to make colors, you have to add to white. While white itself is the absence of all positive colors. And this represented something which was totally separate and totally elevated and abstract from the physical world. To the contrary, you see that the deeper you go in the physical world, the heavier and the thicker the colors become. You take a look at a tree, you take a look at the earth, or you go deep down into the earth. And the same thing we see, the higher you go, the more bohir, the more clearer something becomes. And this is why it was referred to as Levonon. Torah also is called Or, light. And just like in the physical world, the higher you go, the purer is the light. The same in the spiritual world. See, light represents the absence of matter. And white represents the absence of matter. Therefore it was called Levonon. And therefore he says, this is what the Gemara means when it says it was malavin the Avenis Shel Yisrael. Because the Chet, the Avera, that comes from the Odom HaGashmi, that comes from physical man. Man was made from the earth, and the Averis come from that aspect of man. The Ruach Hashem, the Nishmas Chaim, that Hashem blew into man, that's Neshama Shonasati B'Tahorehi, that was pure. That was without foreign elements. Chet, sin does not come from that. And this is why Kapora, atonement, came from the Beis Hamikdash, because the Beis Hamikdash was on that level of purity. And therefore it could atone for man where his Avera came from the level of the physical world. Now, we brought the Gemara, that the Gemara said it was not only called the Levonon, but it was also called Yar HaLevonon, the forest of the Levonon. Why? My Yar, just like the forest, Melavlev, Apes HaMikdash Melavlev, just like the forest would give forth fruits to the world, the Beis HaMikdash also would give forth fruits to the world. Here, the Manal says, we go one step further. Melavlev means to give forth fruits. But he says Melavlev comes from the word lev, the heart. What does the heart have to do with giving forth fruits? Because fruits is sustenance. The heart gives sustenance to all parts of the body. That's why the word malavlev comes from the word lev. The heart sees that blood, oxygen, everything that the body relies on for its very existence, the heart sees that it's circulated to all parts of the body. So with the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash not only served as a Mokam HaMikdash, a sanctified place which was elevated, but it also served as the heart of the world. And it gave forth sustenance to the entire world, like the Gemara brings. When Shlomo HaMelech made the Beis HaMikdash, he planted beautiful trees, all of the good of the world, and it went out to the world. And we're speaking here not of spiritual brocha. Spiritual brocha gave also. We're speaking here of physical brocha, like the Gemara says. Gave forth its fruits. And the Kahanim had panosa from it. The Beis HaMikdash was not only the spiritual center of the world. The Beis HaMikdash was the physical center of the world, where physical brocha came to the world because of the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that? Where does brocha come from? We said the earth itself has no life. So how can it give forth brocha? Trees can't give forth brocha without life. Where does life come from? It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Brocha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Almighty. So the bracha must come from the upper worlds to the lower worlds. It cannot come from the lower worlds itself. Now, what bonded the two worlds together? That was the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the highest point of this world, and it was not even in total this world. It was next world also, the higher worlds. And that was the bond between the two worlds. And from there came the brocha from the higher worlds into the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash circulated into the world. And this is why it was called a yar, a forest, and melavlev from the word lev, the heart of the world. So it was the source of physical brocha also. The Gemara tells us, if the goyim, if the nations of the world knew what the Beis HaMikdash did for them, not only they wouldn't have destroyed it, but they would help to build it. Because when they destroyed it, they cut off their own hands also. And then the Gemara tells us, "Kivan shenichnasu akum lehechel." Once the idolaters came into the hechel, then this brocha ceased. Now, it did not cease because of the idolaters themselves, because they were not really at a stature where they could destroy it. The Gemara tells us consistently, "Al ma'hov do oretz mibnei ma." Because of what was the land lost, why was the bais, the Beis HaMikdash, lost? And the Gemara always lists our sins. It was our sins that brought the level of the Beis HaMikdash down. And then the Akum, the idolaters, could come and destroy it. So this is Eretz Yisrael. This is what Moshe wanted to see. He says, "Ebrono, please," he says, "let me go across. Be'eres oretz atova asher be'ivar hayadein, and I'll see this good land." He says, "A land like this, whoever heard of such a thing? Physical piece of land, and mitzvahs can come from it. It grows mitzvahs. It's a spiritual piece of land, and therefore we can call it tov. It has perfection. Ho'ora tov. And then even more so, Yerushalayim, a spiritual city, Malvonon, and the Lavonon, and then the ultimate, which is so high that it's white, and brings whiteness, both a spiritual center and a physical center for the world." This is why the nations of the world, and like I mentioned, unfortunately, many of our own, never understood that what the Torah tells us consistently, that a land like this cannot tolerate bloodshed, says. When there's bloodshed, it says, the land will not rest. It cannot tolerate promiscuity. Ukoagoyim, it says. And when this is in the land, then the land rebels. It's not a physical piece of land. And it spews out its inhabitants, whoever they might be. Now, there's a Mishnah Masechta Seita. Mishnah tells us, Mishnah says, it's near the end, and Daf Memches, near the end of the Masechta, the Mishnah says, Daf Memches, it says, Mishabotel Sanhedrin, once the Sanhedrin ceased, it brings what happened after that. Then it states, Misha Botla, Misha Mesa Nevim Arishainim, once the early prophets died, what happened after that? Misha Chora Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Botla Shomir, the Shomir became non-existent. The Shomir was a little insect, which nothing could stand in its way. It used to, they used it, it could drill through anything. Fact is, it's a question in the Gemara, how, when they captured it, what did they put it in? Because it could drill through anything. And they used it when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, so he was not allowed to cut the stones with any steel. Avonim Shlemos, he had to have complete stones. So they used the Shomir to cut the stones. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so then the Shomir became non-existent. Nefes Sufim, also Nefes Sufim, this was a type of honey, a sweetness, which we have no comprehension in. It was a sweetness where it says was the ultimate of perfection. Posko Anshi Amonam Yisrael, men who believed ceased in the world after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. As it states in Dilem Yud Beis, Hashia Hashem ki gomar chosid, there is no chosid left. Gemara brings, what were Anshi Amono? It says, anyone who has enough to eat for today and he worries about tomorrow, he says, he's not from the Anshi Amono, not from those who have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reb Shim Gamliel im hayde Reb Yishua miyem shechora beis hamikdash ein yom shein bei klolo. Further, from the time of the Churban, there was not a day that didn't have a curse in it. The Gemara brings that not only there was not a day that didn't have a curse in it, but bechol yom v'yom meruba kilolosay mishul chamerei. But every day is worse than the previous day. As it states in the Vori B'chof Ches, Babayke Teima Miyitein Erev, that after the Churban, everyone said in the morning, Oi, the night should come. So we'll be potter from this day. Ube Erev Teima Miyitein Baiker. And when the night came, they said, I can't wait for the day. And the dew never fell for a brocha. The blessing of the tal of the dew was removed. The nitel tama peres, and the taste of fruit was removed. This that we have a good taste in fruit, this is far from the way the fruit tasted during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And even the fatness of the fruit, not only the taste, but the largeness and the fatness of the fruit shrinked. Reb Shimon lo zeimer hatohara nitlo. Purity was taken away. Tam v'reach was taken away. Taste in general and good aromas were taken away. Ha-maisris, the maisris were taken away. Chachomim aimrim, and the chachomim say, ha-znus v'hakshofim, kilo esakol. And what finished everything off was the znus. This is promiscuity and hakshofim, witchcraft, kishuf. This came and finished everything off. So this is what happened after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now what are all of these things? So the Maral explains, this is what we're speaking about. The source of broch in the world was the Beis HaMikdash. Once that was destroyed, then Brocha was finished. The source, what brought our world upward so it could be Dovek, so it could cleave to the upper worlds, was the Beis HaMikdash. And then all of the Brochas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the upper worlds could come into our world. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the two worlds drifted apart from each other. It was a Pirud HaOlemes. Now, what is the significance of these things in particular? See, brings as follows. He says the shomer and the nefer sufim. The shomer is the is that insect, and the nefer sufim is the sweetness. He says these are two opposites of a pole, of the same pole. The shomer had the azus, had the strength and the durability to break anything. He could break through steel and stone and wood, anything. The opposite to this is something which is very soft and mellow. He says that's what sweetness is. So each one has a brocha. In its entirety it was lost. From one end the strength, and from the other end the sweetness. Anshei Amono, these were people of enormous stature that bound themselves and cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu where they saw everything was his hand. So they worried about nothing. They had what to eat today, so they didn't worry about tomorrow. But once the Beis HaMikdash was taken away from us, the lower world fell, and with it the greatest people in the lower world. So it says Poske Anshei Amono. So no longer do we have the giants of the spirit and the faith. Ein Yom Shein Beiklolo. There's not a day that doesn't have a curse, heaven forbid. And the Rava says more than that. Behold Yom V'Yom Merube Kilolosi Mishul Haleri. Every day doesn't just have this, the same problem that the previous day had, but every day is worse than the previous day. What does this represent? He says when things go wrong, a person should realize when they go wrong, then they're going to go even wronger. They're going to go more wrong. When something goes off balance, it doesn't maintain itself. But it's a downward cycle. When something loses its leverage, it's, for example, if a car is properly balanced, so it holds the road. If there's an unbalance in it, it's going to stray, it's going to go off center, and it'll keep deteriorating and deteriorating. Once was Poska Brocho, that we lost the Brochos, so the world lost its Yashrus, it's lost its straight line. The world was tied to the upper worlds, and then it lost. So it's not that it'll have a problem and these problems will remain stationary, but it'll be downward cycles. This we see all of the time. For example, we see it in nature. Unfortunately, tragically, we're seeing it now. You see when, if there's a big drought in an area, so that's an off balance in nature. When the rains are eaten when they're supposed to be, and the dry seasons are when they're supposed to see, then everything's fine. If there's a big drought for 1 or 2 years or 3 years, that's an enormous off-balance of nature. Then usually, many times afterwards, the rains come, they flood. It lost its perfect balance. Fortunately, United States, a few years ago, it wasn't long ago, in the late 80s, they suffered the worst drought of the century in the Midwest. Now they're suffering the worst floods of the century. And this is what we see. Actually, South Africa experienced it a number of years ago, not many years ago, when they had a bad drought in Natal, and then there were enormous floods in Natal. And this is you see this consistently. You see it in society, social problems. If things are right, they're right. Once they go wrong, they don't go to a certain point and stay that way. We see now, for example, crime. President de Klerk said, he said, who would ever believed that the cycle of crime would rise to what it is today. And that's what they said 2 months ago, and that's what they said 2 months before that. And heaven forbid they should be saying that next 2 months also. You either put it right, or it goes wrong. But when it goes wrong, it's not going to stay wrong. It's going to go more wrong and more wrong all of the time. So this is what the Maral says here. Not that there's no day that has the same klolo, but every day is merubi shel chaveri. Lo yorar hatal librocha v'nitel tama perish. The dew didn't fall for brocha, and the taste of peiros was taken away. He says, this is the birchas halayla v'abirchas hayom. Tal is a brocha of the night. Falls in the night. The taste of peiros, what gives fruit good taste? When they have good sunlight. Because they become ripe. If they ripen properly, then they have a good taste. If they don't ripen properly, they don't have a good taste. So the taste, that's a brocha from the sun. That's a brocha of the day. And the dew is a brocha of the night. And this was totally off-center. Afshuman aperis. Then they added even the fatness of the fruit. The fatness of the fruit is not the taste. Many times you can have a little fruit that's very, very sweet. You can have a big fruit that's not. The fatness of the fruit has to do with the quantity, its size. So not only it was a question of its quality, of its taste was lost, but even the size. Ataro nitlo hatam vareach. Then it states, taro was nitlo. Purity was taken away. Purity was taken away because of what we said. Because the Beis Hamikdash, purity represents, purity means elevation from this world. Because in the Gashmi, in the physical, there is not purity. You go into the earth. Purity means when something is clear, without any taruvish, without any foreign mixture. The physical world is a world of mixtures. The higher you go from the physical world, the greater purity you come to. The Beis Hamikdash, which was the highest point, brought tahara, brought purity to the world. When that was lost, then tuma yodalai, purity was lost. And impurities came into the world. And together, in general, it states that taste and reyach, good scent, a good scent and aroma, was lost from the world. Because these are all qualities that are linked to purity. For example, it states by the Beis Hamikdash that you would never smell a reyach ra, a bad odor, from all of the meat and the shechtin that would go on there. On the other hand, whenever you find, you go into a place of lowliness, of impurities, there you'll see that good scents and aromas you won't find. But there you'll see reyach ra, see. Bad aromas, bad smells you'll find. And this is what was lost, because from the Beis Hamikdash came this purity. Now from here comes Ziv. States Ziv. Ziv means clarity, shine. That was from the Beis Hamikdash. Just like you want physical clearness, the higher you go, they say the light is clearer. The lower you go, and then your light becomes polluted. All type of foreign mixtures and foreign elements. And the Chazal tell us that's where Tiferes beauty comes from also. It states the Beis Hamikdash gave beauty to the world. It gave beauty to Eretz Yisrael and beauty to the world. Because beauty comes from clearness. and purity. It's a Gemara we quoted 1 year in the Shir on Tisha B'Av from Kamtzu Bar Kamtzu, from Sugin Gittin, where the Gemara brings that there was a young girl, her name was Sofnas Bas Piniel, that her beauty was incomparable. And why was she called Sofnas Bas Piniel, the Gemara says? Because she had called Seifimbo, everyone would look at her, her beauty was so stunning. Bas Piniel, and she was the daughter of Piniel, came from the Kohen Godel, Sheniknas Lifnai Lifnim, that went into the Piniel, comes from the word Ponim, that went into the innermost chambers of the Beis Hamikdash. So the innermost chambers of the Beis Hamikdash was the ultimate in Ziv, in purity and in light. The innermost chambers of the Beis Hamikdash was where the Oren HaKodesh was. The Ein Be'oren Rak Luches Abrish, and there was the tablets, the Sefer Torah. And the Gemara says, why was it called Oren? It was called Oren Shekula Or, it was light, all light. There was a mokum set aside. And from there came this magnificent beauty. This was lost. And instead was brought Tuma and Sheketz, impurities, and repugnant disgust and so forth. Maestres were lost. For Maestres came the Brocha, states that when you gave Maestres, a person became wealthy. This was lost. Vahaznus vahakshofim kilu esakol. The Chachomim came along and they said, the world fell to such a level once it lost this attachment, where the promiscuity, immorality, and kshofim, kishuf, the witchcraft, sorcery, that destroyed more than anything. Why? Because this, the Maral says, is the Yetzir Lagamri. Till now we were speaking of something off-center, deviations. But a total deviation is nus. Whenever the Torah wants it to say, you shall not soru min haderech, you shall not go astray from the way, from the right way. It states, bezonu acharei elehim. It uses the word zonu. Because zonu means someone who goes crooked to the ultimate extreme. And this is what snus is, this is what promiscuity is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a beautiful world. A beautiful world. And people take it. And they go way off the path. And they bring churban. They destroy the world. And the same thing with the kishuf. The kishuf is, the Gemara says, sorcery works against the nature of the world. Why is it called kishuf? Shemachishin pamalyu shalmalo. It rebels against the world which Hashem created. So that was the ultimate in the Yetzia, in the going away. So therefore, when the Beis Hamikdash, which represented the attachment and the uplifting of the world, of the physical world, to the spiritual world, and through here came not only Kaporis Avenis, the spiritual force, but also the physical force of Brocha, Mishachorvo, once this was destroyed, then Brocha ceased. And this is the world that we live in today. We hope that it's the safe Golus. We hope that it's ending the Golus. And we'll see soon again the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. But you see, this is the world that when someone studies history, he tragically finds out that this, what they're saying is everyday newspapers. It's in the newspapers every day. There's not a day that's not worse than his previous day. And this is not, I'm not referring to the newspapers necessarily of South Africa, this is the world over. Wherever you look, you see the churban, the kilkoh olam, the destruction of a beautiful world, of a beautiful world, a perfect world. The Rambam brings at the end of Hilchos Malachim, very end of Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam says, what will be when the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. So he says, "Ube'eshesman," when the Beis Hamikdash, when the Melech HaMashiach will come. He says the Melech Mashiach will be Mizera Beis David, from the seed of the house of David. And he will do what he has to do. He will put the world in order. And he will fight Milchamas Hashem, he will fight the wars of Hashem. And then he will bring everyone back to the Oretz HaTov and the Har HaTov. And he will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. What will be then? He says, "Ba'eses man lo yeshom le'ro'a ve'le melchoma." In those days then, there will be no famine, there will be no war. There will be no fighting, no peribulach, no jealousies, and so forth. Shahatova tiye mushpas harbe. Physical goodness will spread over the entire world, because the brocha will be returned. V'chol ha'madanim mitzuin ka'ofar. And all of the good things, alagutazachin, all of the good things will be so plentiful in the world, it will be like the as plentiful as the dust of the earth. And he says, but the Melech HaMashiach, we're not rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash so we can have all our good tzach, and that our life should just be chasing good things. He says, V'lei yeseh kol ha'aylam. He says, the whole world, they'll have whatever good things they need and they'll take, but they will not be preoccupied with it. He says, the whole world, the goyim also, their whole preoccupation will be Lodas es Hashem b'vad. They will want to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulfichoch Yisrael chachomim gedeilim v'yodim dvorim astumim. Yashinu das borim kefiteach ha'odom. And therefore Yisrael will be at the pinnacle of popularity, because they will look up to Yisrael as the great sages that know all of the concealed secrets of Hashem, and they will teach Torah, and they will teach the wisdom of Hashem to the world. And Shneamar ki maleah ha'oretz deya es Hashem, and there will be so much wisdom of Hashem at that time, it will be kemaim liyam echasim, it will be comparable to the waters that cover the oceans. So this is when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, the brocha, both the physical and the spiritual brocha, will be returned. B'mheirah v'yameinu amen.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.